Good morning to everyone. Our first case of the day is State v. Tracy N. Parnell. Justice Frydenberg is recused in this matter, and he is also recused in the second case of the day, which is State v. James E. Myers. Back to State v. Tracy N. Parnell. Is anyone here today on behalf of Mr. Parnell? I don't believe so. Ms. Faust, good morning to you.
May it please the court. My name is Stacey Faust, Assistant Attorney General representing the state of Nebraska, the appellee. Tracy Parnell appeals from the order of the district court denying his motion to vacate or modify judgment and motion to compel. Parnell argues that it was error for the district court to deny his motions without a hearing. The state agrees. In his motion, Parnell alleged three things: that he didn't receive a copy of the district court's order dismissing his motion for post-conviction relief so that he could timely appeal from it. The order denying post-conviction relief was entered on August 17, 2017. 13 days later, after the court entered the August 17th order, Parnell filed a motion for status. On his post-conviction motion, he alleged that he did not receive a response from the clerk or the court. The motion for status is in the record. And he also alleged that his legal mail must be both signed by himself and the delivering corrections officer, and the corrections has denied him access to his mail logs unless he gets a court order. The district court denied his motions without a hearing, finding that on the certificate of service attached to the August 17th order, the clerk certified that he sent a copy to Parnell's last known address, which is at a P.O. box here in Lincoln, a box that is associated with the Department of Corrections. The state believes that Parnell is entitled to a hearing, and at that hearing, he should be allowed to present any evidence that he did not receive the August 17th order denying post-conviction relief in order to timely appeal from it. The state has set forth in its brief the authority that it believes permits the hearing and any subsequent reinstatement of Parnell's time to appeal. That authority includes this court's decision in State v. Smith. This court's decision in State v. Smith, the court's inherent and statutory authority to enter orders non-pro-tunk, the court's statutory authority under 25-2001-4 to vacate a judgment or modify a judgment or order, and finally, and even if a presumption of mailing or of regularity does apply to the clerk's actions, he's still entitled to rebut that presumption with any relevant evidence, which would need it to be done at a hearing.
Wouldn't the relevant evidence at the hearing have to be to rebut that there was actually a mailing?
I believe so. Yes.
Because if there was a mailing and somehow it was lost in the mail, who bears the risk of loss?
So that's where I think that 25-2014 is so important as an alternative ground under subsection F. Due to unavoidable casualty or misfortune, in which case I think that's where the mail logs would become so important. And I don't think that Parnell should be denied relief if those mail logs show that he didn't receive anything.
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
I understand that the state agrees with Mr. Parnell that it was error to deny a hearing on the motion. But should this court, assuming we agree, should this court engage in harmless error analysis here, given that the post-conviction motion was not verified?
I'll be honest with you, I didn't even see that it wasn't verified, but no, I don't think you engage in a harmless error analysis because that's a separate question that we get to once his post-conviction appeal would be reinstated.
Thank you.
I would just want to be clear. I understand that in this particular instance with an inmate, they have an internal procedure about logging mail. But once again, if you have evidence that it was actually mailed, clerk comes in and says, it's in the envelope, I put the stamp on it, went in the U.S. mailbox. And if it wasn't an inmate situation, how would we deal with that? Wouldn't the recipient bear the risk of loss of the U.S. mail?
Yes, I agree. And I think being the state, it's kind of an awkward position to be in, but I think the inmates are in a different situation in the sense that their legal mail is logged.
But that's only from the point at which it arrives at the institution.
Correct. And so if he presents those mail logs show that it was signed in for, I would submit he loses.
Would everybody, no matter whether they're a prisoner or not, have the opportunity to rebut a presumption?
That's the case law is even officials where the presumption applies, it's absent evidence to the contrary. And so if they have evidence to the contrary, well, you have to first be given a hearing in order to present that evidence.
I guess which presumption are we talking about?
The
presumption of regularity,
yes,
with respect to what the clerk did.
Exactly.
Then there's another presumption having to do with presumption of delivery.
And that is also can also be rebutted as well.
All presumptions apparently can be rebutted. Is that right?
I guess unless the case law says the irrebuttable presumption, but in this case the case law says to the contrary. There are no further questions. The state asks that you reverse the order of the district court and remand with directions to grant Mr. Parnell a hearing on his motion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next case of the day then is state.